I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Nick Ayers, who was the chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence, on Fox News right now telling Martha McCallum that all of John Kelly's claims that Trump praised Hitler were absolutely BS. Nick Ayers not exactly a big fan of Trump. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. It's Thursday, 1 week from Halloween, and we are almost to the end of this election season. Now, the Pennsylvania voting system was down earlier today. I'm told it's back up, but that caused a moment of agita for a lot of people today. We're streaming live on YouTube right now. 1210 WPHD is our YouTube page. Join the fun, join the chat. Some great guests coming up on the show today as well, including Congressman Mike Kelly, Congressman Scott Perry. Jeff Bartos is going to stop by. So big show for you. Kamala's closing argument. All right, because that's where we are right now. We're in the closing argument phase of the campaign. Her closing argument is Trump is a fascist. He's a meanie pants. And he's going to bring about the end of days, the end of time, the end of days, the end of democracy. That's her closing argument. That's it. She's not offering bold solutions. She's not offering how she's different from Joe Biden. Even last night during the Anderson Cooper town hall, she sounded like she was running for home health care aide or nurse or something like that. But that was a bad night. That was a bad night, that town hall with Anderson Cooper for her last night. It was bad all around. Trump's closing argument is they broke it, I'll fix it. That's going to be his closing argument. They broke it, I'll fix it. So elect me and we'll fix this mess that is the Biden-Harris administration. Question, of course, is there anyone left undecided to sway? And if there is, which argument will prevail? Now, from my own personal opinion, I think the economic argument is a stronger argument than Trump is meanie pants, because they tried the Trump is meanie pants argument in 2016 and it didn't work then. So why exactly are they going back and replaying the hits when they weren't hits? It's like when you listen to the Casey Kasem counting down the hits and he's on like number 742 and you're like, I got a long way to go here to get to number one. I mean, they're playing number 742 right now. Trump's a fascist, Trump's a meanie pants, because they have no other argument. They tried the whole, COVID was his fault argument. That didn't work. She was unable to distance herself from Joe Biden in any way, shape, or form. Biden didn't make her president. He could have, so that anyone who just couldn't conceive of the idea of seeing a woman president could have been able to at least envision one. They wouldn't refuse to do that. He wants her to lose. And they're back to Trump's mean. Trump's a meanie pants. So the same argument they rolled out in 2016, which didn't work then, versus Trump's argument to the supposed blue wall states, which I don't consider them to be blue wall, but let's just go with that for a moment. Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Hey, I'm going to save your jobs. I'm going to bring American manufacturing back. I'm going to close the border. Which argument matters more to those voters? In Pennsylvania, I'm going to preserve fracking. I'm going to expand fracking, and we're going to bring down inflation, and we're going to close the border. Or Trump meanie pants. See, I just think if you think Trump's a meanie pants, that cake's already baked. You've decided he's a meanie pants a long time ago. And if there's nothing else that's going to move the needle from you, you and your hate has no home here sign have long ago decided who you're voting for. Anyone but Trump. It doesn't matter. Beyond that, the other people that are kind of on the fence, I just don't think they're going to be swayed by the whole he's a fascist thing. You know what I mean? Because he was president for 4 years and he wasn't a fascist. And then the other thing, too, which I think is very, very important to note, is that in addition to Trump not being a fascist, inflation was also down. There's a great point that was made today by Howard Lutnick, who was on CNBC. And he said, you know, it's unbelievable she gets on TV and calls him a fascist. He already was the president before COVID. We had 3% growth, inflation below 2%. He wasn't a fascist. But he made a great, great point. A great point. When he said, withdrawal from Afghanistan, they left all that equipment behind. That was done on purpose. That was done on purpose because the war machine wanted to be able to produce more stuff. And I said, that's brilliant. I've actually never really thought about it from that perspective before. He said, what's the first thing you do when you buy a new home? You have to fill it with furniture. So if you brought all that military equipment back, you'd have to, would it need to buy more stuff? It's like the old George Carlin bit. Got to buy new stuff. Now we need, the house is too small, too much stuff, got to buy a bigger house. Now I've got a bigger house, got to get more stuff. Kind of like that, but with the military-industrial complex. And he goes on about why the Cheneys and all these other people want to stop Donald Trump. That's a very, very, very true reality. Versus the closing argument of Kamala Harris, which is that she is not Joe Biden. She doesn't have a vision of herself, but Trump is somehow a fascist. And you remember Frank Luntz? You remember Frank Luntz, who right after the debate, when I told you Kamala Harris did not win that debate, and I told you that, and I said, she didn't win the debate. Stop with this nonsense. But Frank Luntz that day and his bad hair, I think that thing's a rug. I don't know, but it looks like a bad toupee. Anyway, the next day he said, I'm going on record now to predict Kamala Harris will win the election. You remember that? Well, now Frank Luntz is singing an entirely different tune, that Kamala Harris is in trouble at this point. Because they asked her specifically last night at the town hall, where do you stand on the wall? And what does she do? She shifts it right to Donald Trump. She's in trouble. Even Bill Clinton came out and said she's extremely vulnerable. Bill Clinton also hit on Carrie Lake today out in Arizona by commenting on her physical attractiveness. There's no moment the guy can't make awkward. I'm telling you, the guy is just a walking creep machine. He just makes everything creepy. You know what I mean? Every moment, even Ethel Kennedy's funeral, he had to creep everybody out. Like, oh, she's always flirting with me. He's just a creep. But anyway, this is the this is where we are right now, as we're all getting ready for the end of this election season that has just been consuming all of our lives. I want to play this clip though to start the show for you, because I think it's pretty funny how Frank Luntz, the day after the debate, goes, "I'm going on record right now to say that she will win the election. Not that she said she won the debate, that she will win the election." I remember that. And I said, A, she did not win the debate, and B, this does not mean she's going to win the election. How's Frank Luntz feeling right now? Well, let's take a listen to him, shall we? I don't know if this is him or his bad toupee speaking. Cut number two.
I think that clip illustrates exactly why Harris is in trouble at this point. And it's something that I don't understand why the campaign does not address. They asked her specifically, where do you stand on the wall? And what does she do? She goes and shifts it right to Donald Trump. Immediately mentions him twice, right? Within the first 5 seconds, she still hasn't closed the deal. She still hasn't said to people exactly what she would do. In fact, what she should have done in the opening of that town hall is said, I want to tell you what I'm going to do in the first hour, in the first day, and in the first week. And it's going to take me 5 minutes. So, Anderson, you're going to have to sit tight. Here's what we're going to do by 1 p.m. She didn't do any of that. She hasn't told the public step by step what she's about.
Let me ask you.
So she's in trouble right now. She's in trouble from the guy who said the guy who went on record and said she was going to win the election because of that debate. Now she's in trouble. See what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying right now. That's what I'm talking about. This is a real problem. This is a real problem for Kamala Harris. Here is CNBC. President Trump is now viewed more favorably than Kamala, who has lost all her post-convention bounce. Cut number one.
Looking at this next thing here in terms of favorability, Harris has lost all her post-convention bounce. She went from +3 in the September NBC poll to -10, back where she was in our August survey. That's a sign Trump has been landing blows on her image, and maybe perhaps she's been doing it to herself as well. Trump maintains his -13 to -6. He was -13 in August, too, so he's improved his favorability.
Okay. I have a different interpretation. You know what it was? That the convention bounce was a Fugazi bounce. It wasn't real. It was never real in the first place. You don't get a convention bounce and then drop down like that. The bounce was a manufactured media fugazi. The whole thing was a Hollywood script. The whole thing was a movie. They tried to run a movie through this whole thing. Their game, their strategy here was, let's have really expensive television and radio ads. We'll just dominate the airwaves. Dominate the airwaves, keep her away from everybody, and that's how we'll win. And we'll call Trump a meanie pants and a fascist, and we'll win. And, of course, the corporate media does what they do, and they join in. And what they push this idea, she's got this bounce. She's got this big bounce. She's so happy. Oprah spoke. Barack Obama spoke. Michelle Obama spoke. And everybody's happy and everybody's thrilled and everybody's feeling really good, except it wasn't real. It was never real. There was no convention bounce for Kamala Harris. The media ran with that because that's what the media wanted. And it was all a sugar high. And that sugar high crashed really, really fast. Really fast. And now we're left with even Bill Clinton declaring that Kamala Harris is extremely vulnerable as he's out there campaigning for Harrison Waltz right before he winds up hitting on Carrie Lake. Such a freaking creep. I mean, he just can't help him. He can't help himself. He's got to comment on how attractive Carrie Lake is. How hot Carrie Lake is. Like, it's like, stop. He's just creepy. Cut three.
But about 45% of the people think he can do no wrong, and they don't care if we save our democracy or not. So there is a sliver there that has to make up their mind. And to them, Kamala Harris just showed up. I mean, she was there as vice president, and what they think of her largely depends on what they think of President Biden. But she is extremely vulnerable, more vulnerable than she deserves to be, through crazy attacks. So they've been thinking, the Republicans, all this time, how can we go on the attack?
They've been thinking all this time, how can we go on the attack? She's vulnerable. More vulnerable because of all their attacks. How about she's vulnerable because she's a terrible candidate who can't answer questions with Anderson Cooper? How about that? Just throwing it out there for everybody. Just throwing it out there to think about. And maybe, perhaps, just maybe, it's because she's a really bad candidate. Yeah, Trump's attacking her and they've been attacking Trump. And yet Trump's favorability is up now. Kamala Harris's is down. So now we're into the closing arguments of this campaign. And you got to ask yourself, if you're an auto worker in Michigan and you hear about how the left has embraced the Green New Deal and that's going to lead to your job potentially being eliminated, you weigh that against Trump meanie pants. Which one moves the needle for you more? You're a family in Philadelphia. You have seen your neighborhood taken over by crime, illegal immigrants. You're struggling to get by. Inflation has been brutal for you and your family. You remember life was better under Trump, but Trump meanie pants, does that move the needle on that family? You're a Latino voter, you're a working class guy in Philadelphia, working class gal in Philadelphia. You know, the border's wide open, it's a mess. This administration has been a disaster. Everything's more expensive. You're barely getting by, but Trump meanie pants. And if Trump meanie pants was such a good argument, why didn't it work in 2016? That's the question I keep coming back to. All right, we have Congressman Mike Kelly. I don't see him on the call screen, but let me welcome him to the show right now. It's great to have him join us here live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Of course, he represents Pennsylvania's 16th Congressional District, and he's chair of the bipartisan task force investigating. Oh, he's on video. Oh, wonderful. Excellent. He's joining us on our YouTube stream right now. Congressman Mike Kelly, it's great to see you, my friend. How you doing?
Really good, Rich. Really good show, by the way. You're spot on.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I really do. Closing argument time, and let's talk about that for a moment. This idea in Pennsylvania, when Kamala Harris has again flip-flopping on fracking, her disastrous answer last night with Anderson Cooper versus Trump mean. You know, which one's going to win out in western Pennsylvania, right?
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're in eastern Pennsylvania or western Pennsylvania or central Pennsylvania. We've had to be mean all our lives. And so you never sit back and say, you know what? I'm just going to play it soft. I don't want to upset anybody. You know what? Nothing's more upsetting than the truth. especially when you're somebody like Kamala Harris, has never gotten through a primary, dropped out the first time, and then got appointed the second time. So much for saving our democracy. But there's nothing that she can do on her resume that would begin to suggest that she could be the leader of the greatest country in the free world. It doesn't match up versus a guy. If you look at films and you look at everything he's done in his life, including his first term as president, America was never viewed as stronger and more faithful to its allies and friends than during that time period. Nobody in the world was talking about anything evil coming to the United States. 4 years later, look where we are.
Yeah, exactly right, Congressman. It's exactly and that's why I like Trump's closing message. You know, they broke it, we'll fix it. Americans have a chance now to compare the two administrations side by side, and the classic question President Reagan posed: are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Pretty simple answer for most people in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think the reason you look at game film and you look at how the game's been played is not so much a game, but the game. We play, you can't look at the films of these two candidates and say, I think the other one has a chance, as opposed to, oh, I'm with the winner. I'm going for the guy who doesn't love to win. He, Donald Trump, he hates losing. He hates losing at his personal level. He hates losing. The United States of America is the strongest in the free world. He is a strong guy. He will stand into the deepest wind. He will face it head on. He will defeat whoever is in our way, and it will be America, not just for now, but for the future.
Let's talk about the assassination attempt of the president. You've been chairing that joint task force on this, and there's a lot of questions that still remain. I know you're very frustrated by what you've uncovered, what you've learned. I appreciate your hard work on this. We all do, because we got to get to the truth here. What do you think are some of the most shocking revelations, Congressman Mike Kelly, you've learned chairing this task force?
Well, you know, when we first started, most important is faith and trust and confidence in whoever you're relying on to make it safe. It is stunning, the failure on July 3rd by the Secret Service, and where it tumbled down. Every single thing that you probably would look like, first thing, where's the perimeter? Second thing, do we have the ability to communicate? Everything that I looked at, it was completely never checked over. Why would we say that we didn't have the ability to communicate with each other until 11 minutes after 6? I will tell you this, and for our friends out there listening, we knew an hour before 11 minutes after 6, because the constant referral of what was going on, there's a suspicious person on the grounds. We can't find out where he went. Now we found him again. Oh, he has a rangefinder. Everything led to the fact that there was somebody, all those thousands of people on those grounds, one person that stood out all the time, and it ultimately was Brooks. My question is, if you didn't think it was secure, if you didn't think it was safe, why did you let President Trump to come out on that podium that day and then react 11 minutes after 6 when shots started to ring? He never should have been put out there. It never would have happened. Corey Compatore would be alive today. The other two men who were seriously wounded would not have gone through that. And the faith that the American people need to have on our ruling, the Secret Service, is really shaken, because if they couldn't do it, who could do it? And how could they have failed so poorly on that day without any way to defend what it is that they didn't do? They tried to shift it to local law enforcement. Our local law enforcement guys did their job. Secret Service failed at every single step along the way.
Congressman Mike Kelly's with me. He's the chairman of the Joint Task Force investigating the assassination attempt on President Donald Trump's life in Butler. And the other assassination attempt, too, that happened outside of Mar-a-Lago, or I should say his golf club in Florida. Nobody's been fired yet, right? I mean, as far as we know, there's been no one's gotten fired. No one's lost their job over this. Am I correct in understanding that?
You are correct.
Only in government, right?
Only in government. Look, all of us are held to a certain standard. You take on an oath of office, you take on a job, I don't care what level it is, to that oath that you take. And the expectations should really exceed what you expect out of something that's a lower level. The Secret Service, at one time, worked under the Department of the Treasury. It shifted over then to Homeland Security. Rich, when you look at the roster of who was there on July 13th, you find out the minimum number on a security basis was Secret Service. The rest were people from Homeland Security that were moved into water July 13th to fill in because of the lack of personnel that was available to us that day. You just can't look at anything like this and say, I'm going to be critical of people because they have no ground for that. I'm going to say this. We're trying to get restore the faith and trust that the American people have to have in Secret Service. That's our effort today. You mentioned it. They made a decision and a performance that day. We lost Corey Compatore that day. The president almost lost his life. Other people were wounded. They could have lost their lives because in the preparation with there, there was no preparation, there was no for communication, and at that point, there was no way for justification of the Secret Service being separate from this, or Homeland Security being separate from this, or the FBI being separate. Any federal agency that was there that day, you man up right now. If you messed up, raise my hand and say, listen, you know what? Totally our fault. I'm not going to let it happen again. But on the same token, we usually, if something like this happens, people lose their job.
Congressman Mike Kelly, I appreciate you joining us today in Philadelphia. Thank you for your hard work chairing the task force, and we hope to talk to you again after the full committee meets. And best of luck in the next coming weeks with your reelection and also with President Trump's reelection. Dave McCormick, I know how hard you've been working for these guys, so thank you so much for everything you're doing for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Rich. Keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
Take care.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. Sorry, I think the audio was a little garbled on that. If you had a tough time hearing it, my apologies on that. But there's another clip I just wanted to quickly play for you before I take a break. And this is the lie that is perpetuated right now by people like Tim Walz. And it's this notion that Trump is going to start rounding people up. This is ridiculous, and it's shameful that a governor of a state would say this to people. But hey, the vice president of the United States yesterday came out and said Trump praised Hitler. This is cut number four.
I say this lightly because I didn't, in my 60 damn years, I didn't think I'd ever see a candidate for president praising Adolf Hitler's generals or talking about using the military against their enemies. And I mean, this is it's pretty stunning. And I said, look, I recognize I'm on the top of his list, but don't kid yourself. You're somewhere on that list, too, if you disagree with these people. That's who they are.
Yeah, that's who they are. They're going to round you up and put you in camps. It's just outrageous. It really is the lie. So here we are. Closing arguments. Trump meanie pants or Trump will fix this country. Which one do you think is going to work in the final weeks of the campaign? 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. The big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaVanaria. VanariaDental.com. We're streaming live on YouTube. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, it is a busy, busy Thursday. Hope you are having a good day. I hear there's a lot of traffic out there, but I don't really know if there's anything particular causing it. We've been looking. I haven't seen any big news stories about it. Yesterday, Center City was a mess because Kamala Harris was in town, and then she went out to, I guess, Delco and did the town hall with Anderson Cooper. So we have a lot of audio to get to for you from that. But I want to just make this point very, very clear, which is that if you are seeing anything yourself regarding any election impropriety that you are personally experiencing, you have to let us know. All right? There's all kinds of stuff on the internet, all kinds of stuff on social media. But if you, in your own life, are experiencing anything that has to do with your absentee ballots, voting in person, whatever it is, you have to let us know, let protectthevote.com know. But we're all seeing the same stuff in terms of, you know, stories on the internet. And that's, I'm not saying that they're not real or they are real. I don't know. But they're being looked at. But just it's important that you just share whatever you personally are dealing with. That's the message I keep getting from the RNC. So I'm passing that along to you so that you can do that and help them out. All right. You can help them. And then you'll be helping save America, because otherwise, you know, if we don't have a fair election, then we're going to have a lot of problems here. I want to play this clip for you. This is by far one of the most profound things I've heard in a long time. And I'm angry. I didn't think about it myself. You ever have that? You hear a funny joke. You're like, damn it. Why didn't I think of that? Which a lot of times happens to people when they listen to this show and then they wind up using it in other shows. Like, why didn't I think of that joke Zioli just told? And then you do hear it later, a couple hours later on another show, or maybe the next day on a podcast. You know what I mean? But no, what I'm saying is there's sometimes a point you go, damn, that's good. Why didn't I think of that? Harold Lutnick's point about all the military gear we left behind in Afghanistan. I heard him say that. I was like, "That yes. Why didn't I think of that? It's that good." So I'm going to make sure he gets credit for it, because there's nothing worse when somebody steals your ideas. But this is great. He's got a couple of great points that he made today, but here's one of them. Cut 28.
It's unbelievable that she gets on television and calls him a fascist. He already was the president. We had, before COVID, we had 3% growth, 3% wage growth and GDP growth, inflation below 2%. Right. He wasn't a fascist. He hired the wrong people. We agree. And now he has disgruntled former employees, right? All these people got fired. Who got fired in the Biden administration? You want to have a fun thought? Did we, when we pulled out of Afghanistan, was it really stupid and a mistake? Like, we left $80 billion worth of stuff behind.
Stipulate.
Was it a mistake? It wasn't. If you think about it, if I get you to quickly move out of your house and leave everything behind, when you get to your new house, what's the first thing you have to buy? A whole bunch of new furniture. So if I leave $80 billion worth of equipment behind, what's the first thing the military industrial complex is going to do? Buy more stuff. So who hates Donald Trump, who hates war? Dick Cheney. Of course, Dick Cheney. What's Dick Cheney's legacy? Let's go take out Iraq, which Donald Trump says is the dumbest thing that's ever happened in recent military exercise. Why? Iraq and Iran, they kill each other for what? Thousands of years? We take out Iraq and we free Iran to try to take on the West.
Isn't that, I mean, that's very profound stuff right there. And I love it personally. I do. I love it. I think it's great. I think what he just said there is so spot on in every single way. Because think about it. It's the George Carlin bit, right? You got all this stuff. You have too much stuff. You got to buy a new house. You got to get more stuff. And then to fill the new house. And then you got to get, now you need a bigger house and you got to get more stuff. It's the same thing with all the military equipment. So brilliant point. And it is obviously why the military-industrial war complex has always hated him. It's something I told him when I've been telling him this since 2015. I've been telling him this since 2015. That's where we are. And that's the truth. So let's play some audio from the disastrous town hall last night with Anderson Cooper, and we can have some of this on video for you as well. So Kamala, once again, unable to answer how she'd be different than Joe Biden. So this is amazing. So this woman in the audience, it's cube cut number six, this woman in the audience asked her a question. How are you different? All right. How are you different than Joe Biden? Very simple question. Very easy question, you would think. You should have an answer ready for this. Have an answer ready to go. But she still manages to botch this. I don't understand how she could be this bad. Cut number six.
Considering you have been in the position of vice president for the past 4 years under the Biden administration, how can we expect you to deviate from the direction of that administration compared to your own? How can we differentiate your policy and your beliefs from that of Biden's?
That's a great question, and thank you. Well, first of all,
My administration will not be a continuation of the Biden administration. I bring to this role my own ideas and my own experience. I represent a new generation of leadership on a number of issues and believe that we have to actually take new approaches. For example, what we talked about in terms of housing. My experience that leads to that priority includes what I did to take on the big banks around the foreclosure crisis when I brought billions of dollars to homeowners that were the subject of predatory lending. I know what homeownership means to the American people, not to mention what it meant to my mother, who worked very hard and saved up so that by the time I was a teenager, she was able to buy our first home. I bring to it my experience actually taking care of my mother when she was sick, and it was, as it turned out, dying from cancer. And so I know what it means and have the experience of taking care of an elderly relative, and I have raised children. And so I bring to my priorities and will, as president, a new approach and a new idea, frankly, about what we need to do to deal with the sandwich generation.
The sandwich generation, which is a term. But I'm just curious, is she running for home health care aide, or what is she running for? That's your answer? Your answer is that? I'm amazed by this. Can we figure out what's going on with YouTube, please, Kirk? Can you figure out what's happening? I'm hearing there's an echo. Now people are saying there's no sound. This is not that complicated. Every other show on the station does this. Can we please get this going right? Because now I am losing my patience. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in today and everything we are discussing, this is this kind of stuff we got to figure out here. Okay, please. I'm trying to be patient, but people are dropping like flies on the YouTube chat. So if we got to reset it. Just do whatever it takes. Well, let's get this going here, please. Let me play a clip that's not video in the moment, so we can get this going up again. This is now. Kamala avoided, she doesn't want to answer if she's witnessed Biden's cognitive decline behind closed doors. Doesn't want to answer the question. So she dodges it. Now, this is another moment for her advisors to think about this very, very carefully. And to say, if you answer yes, then you are guilty and you're complicit in the fact that you protected this old man. This senile old man, and you were complicit in lying to the American people, and is what one of the greatest cover-ups in probably American political history. You were complicit in that. If you say, no, I didn't see it, then you're an idiot, because how did you not see it when everybody else saw it? So how do you answer the question? I mean, you saw it, I saw it. The reason why they did that debate in June was so that America could see it and take him out of the race, obviously. This is Kamala now, cut 19. Take a listen.
You have made it clear that you believe this is a binary choice between you and Donald Trump. Those are the candidates on the ballot.
There's only
two choices.
Yes,
but, and I know that Joe Biden is not on the ballot. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the reason that you are at the top of the ticket is because he dropped out of this race. And so I want to ask you, and it was largely because of that debate performance back in June. You defended him in the days before and in the days after, as you were campaigning for another 4 years for President Biden. Can you say that you were honest with the American people about what you saw in those moments with President Biden as you were with him again and again, repeatedly in that time?
Of course. Joe Biden is an extremely accomplished, experienced, and capable in every way that anyone would want if they're president.
And you never saw anything like what happened at the debate night behind closed doors with him?
It was a bad debate. People have bad debates. He is absolutely.
But that's the reason why you're here, and he's not running for the top of the ticket.
Well, you'd have to ask him if that's the only reason why.
What do you think?
I am running for president of the United States. Joe Biden is not. And my presidency will be about bringing a new generation of leadership to America that is focused on the work that we need to do to invest in the ambitions and aspirations of the American people.
It's a judgment question. That's why I ask. Can the American people trust you in these moments, even when it's maybe uncomfortable for Americans to level with Americans in that way? So that's why I ask. And it sounds like what you're saying is you feel like you never saw anything like that from President Biden.
I have worked with Joe Biden, hours and hours and hours over these 4 years, whether it be in the Situation Room or the Oval Office. Joe Biden is the one who was able to bring NATO together during a crisis where, for the first time in 70 years, Europe saw and has seen war. Joe Biden has done the work that has been about being a leader on what we have done to fix so much of what has been broken in terms of the economy because of Donald Trump's mismanagement. I speak with not only sincerity, but with a real firsthand account of watching him do this work. I have no reluctance in saying that. No, of course I don't.
I have no reluctance in saying that. Of course I don't, says Kamala Harris. Of course I don't. We're now in the final days of this campaign, and people still don't know who she is. They don't know what her message is. Her message is Donald Trump bad. Donald Trump meanie pants. Think about this. And her message about Joe Biden is so bad, too, because everybody knows the obvious truth. They covered up for Joe Biden, who lost his mind. This was an absolute political cover-up of the highest order. And it was something that should be investigated, and the corporate media was in on it, and big tech was in on it, and everybody was in on it. They were all complicit. And somebody needs to be held accountable for this. Answers. We have to get answers on this. And she was right there with them. Listen, we broadcast from the Cherry Hill Volvo studios where relationships matter because Judith Krupnik and her wonderful team understand how important you are to this radio station and how important keeping us on the air is in this day and age of cancel culture. That's why she stepped up and said, I want the studio naming rights, baby. And this is why you should support her, because Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill is not only a wonderful place to do business, they're great people who stand with us at Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And that's a great thing. But most importantly, right now, during the renovation spectacular with fall savings, you can get some amazing deals. Like, for example, a 2024 C40 for only $329 a month on a 36-month lease. And you can get 3.99% financing on select new Volvos for 72 months. Just head to the store for all the details. Judith and the entire Cherry Hill Volvo team would love to see you and to make sure that you're happy. Maybe you want the S-Class made at their plant in South Carolina. Well, that's great, American Jobs. Or if you want the XC90, that's the third-row family car that we drive in our house. We love it. Get the kids to wherever we're going, nice and safe and sound. Plenty of room, the latest technology, all the bells and whistles to keep you safe. It's really, really important. Either way, whether it's a new, certified pre-owned, or a lease from Cherry Hill Volvo, they will take great care of you. I mean, you can't beat that. $435 a month on a 36-month lease for the XC40. And 3.99% financing on select Volvos for 72 months. That's unbelievable. In this day and age of high interest rates, 3.99%. I was just reading today, interest rates on homes are going up again. 3.99% for 72 months on a new Volvo. Come on. Go see them today. The region's most accessible Volvo dealership, minutes over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill, where relationships matter.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
But you know, you might be wondering to yourself, with such incredible people assembled on Kamala Harris's team in Pennsylvania, how could she possibly lose the state? It's a great question. It's a great question. Especially when she has talented people like Eric Lipka working on her Pennsylvania team. Eric Lipka spends the weekend as Erotica the drag queen. Yes, that's right. When Eric is not working on Kamala's Pennsylvania operation as a deputy press secretary, he goes by the drag queen name Erotica the drag queen, Erotica and Erica Lipka. And his name has been featured in dozens of public Facebook posts. He danced and performed drag at a Saint Saturday event in Richmond, Virginia, back in January of 2024. I don't know if he's done a lot of things recently when it comes to the drag stuff, or if the campaign has kept him off the drag queen circuit. I don't know. You know, I'm not sure about that. His social media profiles formally said that he was a woman from the neck up. I mean, aren't we all? And described him as DC's twirling twunk, which is a term defined by the Urban Dictionary as one used amongst the LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet community, to describe males with the face of a twink, but the body of a hunk. Right. In case you're wondering what a twink is, because I was wondering that too, it's not a pastry. Well, it's a boyish looking pretty. Well, I was thinking. Stop myself.
I thought it was
right
a pastry
there.
Too.
Yeah, you know, and then I thought about it after I said it, and I said, let me just kind of move right on to that, because I'm sure there's a lot of that. Hey, Twinkie. Hey, Twinkie. Come over here. Let's see. And the body of a hunk. So Eric Lipka, thrilled to share I've joined the Biden-Harris campaign and Deputy Press Secretary for Pennsylvania. Let's get to work and finish the job. It's got to be frustrating for Eric that, you know, Sunday drag queen brunch time, and he may have to be back at the campaign office putting out social media posts. You know what I mean? That's got to be tough. Lipka's ex-account biography specifically states that he is a drag queen on the weekends. Fox News reported in July that Lipka's social media accounts were locked down shortly after the publication reached out to the then Biden campaign for comment. But a few of his drag posts remain on X, such as a September 2023 post in which he tweeted, quote, to celebrate it being Friday, here's some drag content to bless your feed. And he puts himself in his drag queen stuff and sends it out to you. On a Friday, I would have been happy with just a picture of a pizza. Been like, here's my Friday picture for you, wood fire pizza. But if you'd rather see me in drag, well, that's never going to happen. I can tell you that. But for real, I really ate that up. The Harris staffer added, his post includes two videos of an individual, apparently him, dressed in an aggressive makeup, jewelry, and women's clothing. And the second video, an individual dressed in drag struts across the stage in a custom-made dominatrix-inspired outfit, as a person in the background describes. Custom-made. Not the kind you get at Spirit Halloween, just for the record, okay? Which obviously is where I get mine. I mean, don't we all? Who's got that kind of cash? You get a custom-made dominatrix outfit. When Spirit Halloween, you get that 20% off coupon, am I right?
It's a great deal.
It's a great deal. The only problem is today is the last day to make any exchanges. After that, all sales are final. And I know this because it turns out that my dominatrix outfit was a tad bit too big, and they're like, you can only exchange it, you can't get a refund, and after the 24th, you're stuck with it. So I said, fine. So I exchanged it for a Super Mario Brothers outfit. So I'll be that in Halloween instead. I'll be Luigi. And I was just as disappointed as you were. I mean, it's 20% off. It's a good deal. In this economy? Come on. Listen, these costumes are not cheap. I took my son to Spirit Halloween, and we got him something from Minecraft or Fortnite or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. It was like $40 for a freaking costume. Mama Zioli had it right. The old CVS ones, the plastic one with that little crappy band around that never stays. It always snaps off. You know what I'm talking about? It's a molded plastic face. And then just a smock. Yeah. That's the costume is just a smock right in front of you. And it costs $3.
Well, the costume only has to last a day. I'm with Mama Zioli. I think that's fine.
I am, too. And I was trying to be a good dad. I was like, listen, buddy, we'll go out to dinner. We'll get some wings. We'll have a guy's night. We'll go to the Halloween store, get a costume. I'm thinking I'm spending $10 on this thing. I get up to the thing, and the woman's like, that's $40. I go, oh, no, we're just buying this one. She's like, that's right. That's $40. But no. I just need this costume. That's it. I was just kidding about the dominatrix stuff. I'm actually going to go put it back right now. She's like, no. I didn't even charge you for that yet. So with this kind of a stunning operation in Pennsylvania, it is amazing how badly she's doing in the state. We'll talk to Congressman Scott Perry in the next hour about that. Got a ton of great audio for you. 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.